Welcome to this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church. Today we have a message that we believe is full of practical and relevant behavioral teaching from God's Word, the Bible. We'd like to invite you to grab a piece of paper and a pen. Take notes as you go through this, looking for a personal application from God to you. Sit back and enjoy as we begin this message.
A God that is a life-transforming God. He is a destination-changing God. There was a point in my life where I was completely all about my way. At St. Charles River Church, we define it like this. It's pretty simple. Sin is just simply my way. Righteousness is simply God's way. And there's one, absolutely. Righteousness is God's way. He comes to us in our sin 2,000 years ago. Oh, he devised the plan long before that. And he said, I'm coming to you just like you are. You don't have to qualify yourself. You can't qualify yourself, but I'm coming to you just like you are. And I am going to make you everything you could have only dreamed to be. I'm going to restore you into a walk with the Father, and you're going to walk with me in the likeness of the image of Jesus Christ. That is amazing. That is amazing. You know, colds can take your voice, but my voice will not be silenced for Jesus Christ. Listen, give the Lord a huge hand. Give him a huge hand. Today is a privilege. I love this guy. Gene and I have known Rex and Christine since 1987. Is that right? No, 83. Didn't you come to first? No, you came in 87, didn't you? Okay. Because I'll tell you, I love you and have known you a lot more. But I've known him since 1987, and we've really had one of those relationships. If you've not ever been told the story of Rex, everything that if you're blessed by something God does at St. Charles River Church, I blame Rex because Rex spoke into me and to Gina from 87 to now. From 87 to 93, he was my senior pastor, and God just spoke through him incredibly, and he's always been there for me. I mean, he has always been there for me. Precious to Gina and I, their boys are precious to us, and now he's a grandfather, and he's well into that stage of his life, but he has also taken on a new role of U.S. missionary with the Assemblies of God. Out of Dallas, Texas, and that's where he's living, he and Christine, and they are doing a new venture in their ministry. He's also partnering along with me and others, with Convoy of Hope as a field team leader as we take teams from all over the country into different countries and do field team leadership. It's a passion of this church. In fact, he's going to come and actually speak about that. The core values series that we are in, have been in all along. All of my pastors sooner or later are going to be speaking to one of these core values. Two already have. And so he's going to come up and speak today about the world missions core value of St. Charles River Church. It's always been since our inception that we have a passion for world ministries. Those are the countries, those are the flags of the countries that we have taken missions trips to. Several of those countries we have been to several times. Guatemala we have been to. I can't tell you how many times we've been to Guatemala, and I mean, I'm talking probably 6 or 7, and I've been there probably 13 to 15 times total. So, but all of this ministry that was birthed from the beginning, including the Church Plant Boot Camp, Rex was the instructor there up in Colorado Springs when I was there in 19, what, or 1999. And so I want him to come up and share about the core values of St. Charles River Church. Welcome, Rex, if you would. Hey, buddy. Love you.
I love this church. I love your pastor. I love all of you. Thank you for the opportunity. If you ever get a chance to be invited and introduced in places, and the introductions sound like that, the easiest way to defer it all is to say, the best introduction I actually ever had was pretty cool. This brother got up and he talked about, you know, life-changing words and powerful prayers and this example that could never be measured, and on and on and on he went. And I'm thinking, does he know who's speaking? And he finally, when he finished it all up, he said, and I'm talking about Jesus, of course. And here to tell you about Jesus is my friend Rex. Whew. Thank God. Took us off the hook. But how many of you know that is part of the reality of our lives, is that we're called to be connected to Christ. So it's a pretty weak. Thank God for this front row. Seriously. I mean, that's the reality of it. We're called to be a part and partner. We're connected to Christ. We are the body. One of the pictures that's used, we are the body of Christ. How many of you know your body isn't supposed to tell your head what to do? It's supposed to work the other way around. In fact, when it doesn't work that way, we call that paralysis. Sickness. Dis-ease. Some interruption. Some spasmodic. Something that's happening somewhere that's out of whack right now. Because when it properly functions, whatever is willed from the head, whatever is generated from the top, expresses itself to and through the body. Y'all are being real quiet. But I just want to talk to you about that for the few minutes that we have today. Let me check my watch with the clock on the wall back there. One of the things I love about our modern churches is I preach in a bunch of them all over the planet these days, but a lot of the really cool churches that are, you know, right, get it done, you know, and it's timed out. There's clocks everywhere. The clock's on the back wall. I'm so used to looking at clocks on the back wall, when I don't have one, I have little idea what to do. So I have officially done the Assemblies of God thing. I've taken off my watch and I've placed it here. Typically that means nothing to most people, but I will intend to try to hit the mark. We don't have tons of time, but how many of you know we have tons of time? Really? The beauty of the Lord, among other things, everything about Him is beautiful, but one of the beauties of the Lord is that He can, in a moment, speak in a way into your life that has impact for literally years. Earth-shattering. But that shouldn't surprise us, probably, because when there was darkness upon the face of the deep, when the earth was without form and void, it was God who looked on that chaos and mess and spoke. He said. He didn't dirty his hands. He didn't formulate a schematic and a plan and plot it out and test the soil. He simply spoke. And worlds came into being. Where does your faith come from? From hearing the word of the Lord. This reality of His truth that touches you in the deepest places of your lives. And this is the truth that's really true. This is the truth, by the way, that isn't subject to a vote. Well, we'll find out what the will of God is. We'll vote. What? They voted for the golden calf. How many of you know the majority of people that you meet as you pass through the streets of St. Louis and St. Charles counties are not believers in Christ? They're walking in darkness. They are embracers of lies and untruths. They may be sincere, but they are sincerely wrong. And it is the many who will tread the broad way, the Bible says, that leads to destruction. It is the many. But there are few who will find their way to the narrow path, the Jesus pathway, the connector place with God. And the good news is that's who you're supposed to be. If you're one of them, wave at me. Even if you decided not to like me yet. Just because you're one of them. I'm on that narrow path. I am a believer in Jesus Christ. Well, good. Then let me just straight up tell you a few things about yourself, if you don't mind. I don't want to have time today to really dialogue with you. I would love to do it later. I'd be happy to chat with you as time goes on. I have information about us, our ministry, ways to contact us. It's all available after the meeting's over. I'll be out in the lobby with all that stuff. And I would love nothing more than to share that with you and share on an ongoing basis with you. But for this morning, I just want to tell you some things about you from the heart of God, if you don't mind. And specifically, they revolve around this business of world ministries, of world mission. Missions, we call it. But I choose to call it just mission. How many of you know anything without a purpose isn't much of a thing? It's a thingamadoodle. It's a whatchamacallit. It's a thingy. A dealy. You know, how many of you have ever done this? Come on, how many of you know what a thingy or a dealy is? It's anything that you can't think of in the moment. It's the, you know, I'm fixing an engine, one of them, those dealies. It is, it's an in the moment thing. And so anything that really has no purpose is really not much of a thing in the first place. And why, what are you talking about purpose? Because that's really what mission is. I mean, it's not just one of 12 core values that have been recognized by the leadership of St. Charles River Church and its inception and its development and its ongoing future. It's really that we tried to mine these things out of the eternal word of God and the realities of who he is and how he's going to be in every generation. So this truth isn't just cool for the day. This truth needs to be pinned to something that's cool for eternity. And we're on a mission from God. I feel like I should be wearing the hat and the Blues Brothers shades. We're on a mission from God. And it doesn't matter what car you drive and what kind of music you love, we are on a mission from God. And that mission from God has to grow out of the mission of Jesus Christ. Because we're the body of Christ. Did I mention that earlier? Yeah, I did. We are a part of who he is. And it's interesting to me when you read through John chapter 4. You can look it up on your own time, but it's a kind of an interesting thing about who Jesus really is. And in the process of this intentional trip outside of the bounds of good form and Jewish typical ministry and typical rabbinical behavior, and the restrictive codes of who are the haves and the have-nots in the world. He ends up sychar in the middle of the day in Sychar by a well in Samaria and just kind of encounters. He's there specifically just to encounter this woman and the people of this community through this woman. It's a really cool story, but in the middle of the story, the story itself is just magnificent for 1,000 reasons, which you should read and study and share with everybody. And if you have questions about it, ask somebody who thinks they know. Really. Just do that. But in the middle of it all, when the disciples have returned, they're engaging him in discussions. And really, it's kind of the reason they went was to bring back lunch and some sort of sustenance and some food. And so they're trying to deal with the aftermath of the woman and the conversation and their confusion. And in the middle of it all, they go to the one thing they know is right. We're hungry. We brought food. Here, Master. Take something. Here's some meat to eat. And does anybody remember what he said? See, it's kind of an interesting thing. Typically, this is the part of the story where we go, I'm a little fuzzy. He said, I have meat to eat. In other words, what he's telling them is, I'm not hungry anymore. Because I've already eaten. I have meat to eat that you guys are unaware of. You can't buy it in the stores and lug it around with you. And he could see the confusion on their faces because he went on to say, my meat, this sustaining reality of my life, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Boom! Well, the mission of our church is to be this or that or the other. Your mission of your church is the mission of Jesus Christ. It's the mission of every church. It's the mission of any church. And anything that calls itself a church that does not bear this mission is no church at all. To do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. This is why I'm here. The Son of Man didn't come to be served and even worshiped in that way. He didn't just come for the notoriety and the impact and the really cool thing so that we could change our calendars and mark our days and our moments by the existence of Jesus Christ. He came to seek and save that which is lost. He came to impact the world. Lost in its sin and its darkness, he came to bring light and life. Amen. Amen. This is the mission of the church. My mission is to worship Jesus. You want to know the way to worship and glorify Jesus? Publish his saving mercy in all the nations. And if your worship and magnifying of Jesus does not include the publishing of his saving mercy among all who walk in darkness, you have missed the mark. I don't care if you make $1 million on your songs. I don't care if they hire you to come and direct worship conferences around the world. If you are not impacting the nations who live and move in the darkness without Christ, call whatever you do, but it is not the mission for which God has called you. Come on. I'm just being honest with you. We have a mission from God. We do. And it's the same mission that everybody has. You know, I'm not a person of missions. What? Excuse me? This business of leading people to Jesus is just not for me. What? I'm not comfortable just, you know, pinholing people down and you're kind of, yeah, hey, what do you know about Jesus? I'm not comfortable doing it. Did I say do any of those things? I didn't say that. Here's what you have to do. You have to be connected to Christ. Get these things. You have to be missional. This is it. Missional. Say it with me. Missional. Missional. What missional means, I have a clue. I have a handle on what is the mission. I understand why am I here. How many of you know why is the best question to actually be able to answer? It's really more important than how, or what, or with whom, or when, or where's the money coming from. Because all that stuff is sort of peripheral when you know why. When you know why, you will make a way. You will. Because you have a motivation. You are on a mission. You have this calling from heaven. And so the early church was called to be missional. In fact, when you read through the book of Acts, and I want to challenge you to do this, get quickly to chapter 11, if you could. You don't have to look it up right this minute, but in chapter 11, there's sort of a subtle shift. Jesus has come. He has ministered to his crew. He's done what he does, which is what? He went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Everywhere he went, he declared not, oh, you're just okay the way you are. He didn't declare that. He loves you the way you are. Barry said it today pretty well. Pastor Barry said it the way you should say it. He loves you the way you are. But he loves you way too much to leave you in that crazy, ugly, lost condition. Amen. So he comes to them not saying, oh, it's okay that you're an adulterer. It's okay that you're a liar. It's okay that you're caught in these prejudices and these angers. It's okay that you're mad because after all, you've been abused and misused in your life. He never comes saying that. He comes saying that this sin, this darkness, this wickedness, this prevalent prejudice that exists, that you have to wrestle with, is all a part of the darkness of sin and its impact on a fallen world. You were born in it, in this sin. You are shaped by this iniquity. This darkness attaches itself naturally to you. But I have come that you might have light and that you might have life. I have come to declare to you what God is really like, what the Father's really like. So if you've seen me, you've seen him. You get that? If you interact with me, you get to interact with the light and the life and the grace and the truth of God. If I'm living missionally, if I'm stumbling around in the darkness just like you are, but I'm doing it in Jesus' name, that doesn't make me a faithful witness. Come on. That makes me a blind leader of the blind. And not only am I guilty of being blind on my own, but I'm faking it with the people who are blind. I'm the blind guy who's saying, take my hand, I can see. And then we both fall in the ditch. And then eventually they go, what? And you say, well, I should have told you I was blind. Do you think you could have led with that? Come on, how many have been around the church long enough to know that not everybody who says they see does? Not everybody who says that they're just fully committed followers of Christ is. Not everybody who just declares, well, I know Jesus, knows very much of Jesus. That's the truth. And honestly, that just, I'm not here to tell you that's awful. I'm here to tell you that there's a cure. Have you met Jesus? Have you met the real Jesus now? I'm talking about real Jesus, the real deal. He's really alive. He's really well. He's really operating the earth. He's really in love with you. He really has made a way out from under your sins and their iniquities and the judgment of God. He's the one whose judgment you're under. Get this. When God saves sinners, he doesn't save them from the boogeyman. He doesn't save you from the devil. He owns the devil. He's defeated the devil. The devil is his creation. You get that? He made the angels. He rules the earth and the universe, time and eternity. He is the sovereign king who made you. And it is because of your sins and your iniquities and his holiness and his purity and his justice that you are squarely in the crosshairs of the judgment of Almighty God himself.
That's right.
When he saves you, he saves you from his judgment. You get that? He saves you from his wrath. This is what's so amazing. He is just. But the just is also the justifier. That's what Paul said. He has thoughts like this and he goes, pah. But here, instead of just standing there and letting your head explode, your heart blows up. And you go, oh, the depth of the riches, of the wisdom, and the magnificent mercies of who God is. Did you see that? Can you feel that? Do you know him? Because to know him aright is to know life eternal. Amen. What does Jesus come to deliver? He comes to deliver all that he knows of the Father. And in him dwells the fullness of the Father in every way. And that's the plan for the church. Read Ephesians. That the fullness of Christ is supposed to by the Holy Spirit fill us in every way. The same glory that he gave, that the Father gave the Son passes on, John 17, to the church. So that we might be able to live and move and have our being in the name of Jesus. This is missional living. I have a purpose. It's not to make money. not to collect stuff. Really, I spend so much of my time collecting stuff. For what? So it burns up. How many of you know? He isn't saving your BMW. He's not going to be any more concerned about burning up a BMW or a Volkswagen. Or a go-kart. None of that means anything to God. Come on. I didn't say I was going to be kind to you all the time. I just said be loving and truthful. And what may pinch today is only pinching the things that really ought to be pinched anyway. Really. I just want to challenge you with this. When you really encounter the truth of God and the reality of who He is, it's painful. It is. There's a certain shameful kind of element that pounds you and you go, You look in the mirror and you want to feel good about all your stuff that just is sitting around collecting dust. It's unspent. It's uninvested. It's ungiven. It's unused. It's un-this and that. I just want to challenge you. I think it's better to use it. Better to spend it. Here's what I think missional people ought to do. They ought to maximize every moment and reproduce then after their kind. But only reproduce as a person who's maximizing. Be a sold out, 100% fully committed follower of Jesus Christ every moment of every day. You could, wherever you collect your check from, live it and spend it and use it and steward it for the glory of God. Amen. Do that. That's missional living. Maximize. And then when you're maximizing, reproduce. That's when you can challenge people. Hey, follow me like I follow Jesus. Walk with me. That's who this church was. When they finally got around to the city of Antioch, it was really cool. They started to preach not just to the Jews, but some of them just started to preach to the Gentiles as well. And the hand of God, here's what the Bible says in Acts chapter 11, God's hand was on them. God powerfully started to bless them and use them and multiply them. You'd have to understand Antioch for a minute. Can I just tell you a second about it? Antioch was, in the moment, the third largest city in the Roman Empire. It was a terrific trade city. It was an incredibly multinational city. Several nations had set up shop, including the Jewish people. There were all kinds of Gentiles and all kinds of Jews and everything sort of in between that were a part of this. It was a Syrian capital as well as being a Roman capital. It was famed for its debauchery. The groves of Daphne and all of this Aphrodite kind of worship and thing like that's lewd and sensual and really vile beyond measure to talk about, was right outside of the city. It was just that kind of a place. In fact, it was one of the poets of old who said, the filth of the Orontes River, which runs right through Antioch. The filth of the Orontes pours into Rome. In other words, all your debauchery is getting on us. This is where God decided to plant the missional church. This is where God decided to multiply the ministries that were birthed there. Because this church began to say, you know what, in the name of the Lord, we intend from the beginning to be multi-ethnic. Come on. Jews and Gentiles. You say, how multi-ethnic is that? That's only two. Oh, no, no. Gentile means everybody who's not Jew. You got to get this. What they were saying is the Jews and everybody else. So everybody, come on. Well, we don't even speak your language. Yeah, but you speak some of our languages. And some of us speak some of yours. This was a multi-ethnic and a multi-language and a multi-congregational church. And it was that from its beginning. They were multi-ethnic, they were multilinguistic, and they were multi-congregational from their inception. And God blessed them. And He took that and said, now this is the church. This is the maximizing bunch that I want to reproduce in Asia. I want to reproduce this in Macedonia. I want to reproduce this among the nations. And I believe that God is still the God of the church today. Amen. And so I just want to, that's why we've given our lives to doing some of these things. And here's what I think is really cool about this. Not only are we missional, not only are we multi-everything, but the might of God and the power of God is upon this kind of ministry. That church, by the way, the suggested guess is that when they first showed up in Antioch in this first century, there were about 500,000 people living in the city of Antioch. And over the next couple of hundred years, it grew up to 800,000 to 900,000 people who were living in the city of Antioch. In that same time period, it is estimated that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the real believers, numbered over 200,000 people who were impacting that city, their nation, and the world for the cause of Christ. Amen. Where are we today? Who knows? But God is the same yesterday and today and forever. In Jesus' name, and everybody said,
amen.
Amen. God bless. Thank you.
Hey, you're good, man. Our mission's definition here at St. Charles River Church has been the same for this is our 18th year since Gene and I founded St. Charles River Church. Many of you were at the school, and it's always been this definition around, it's across the street and around the world. That's our definition of world missions, across the street and around the world. And if we're ignoring the person across the street and making sure we feel so fulfilled with the around the world trips, we're missing the opportunity of a lifetime to be an influencer and a carrier of the message of hope. And that's what I so appreciate about Pastor Rex through the years, that message of the hope of Jesus Christ. But at the same time, I've had people through the years say, no, I don't do a world mission. I don't do, and that's what they're referring to is traveling. And the truth is, we miss that too, because he said, go into all the world. And some of us are goers, and some of us are senders, and some of us, really, we have the passion for both, but there are seasons.
We hope you found this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church both beneficial and enjoyable. If you're ever in the area, please come by and visit us at 810 Westwood Industrial Park Drive, Weldon Springs, Missouri, 63304. You can also reach us online at www.stcharlesriverchurch.org.